You know, there's a secret society in the church. We're not supposed to have that, but we have one secret society. It's called the Tax Collector Society. You can get into it, but you got to pay the price. It's the other name for it is the Freedom Society. You say, you know, I'd really like to join that. I'd like to be a part of that. And Jesus says, okay, fine. There's a kind of an initiation rite, though. It's described in the early lines of this text from Hosea. Come, let us return to the Lord. It is He who has rent, but He will heal us. He has struck us, but He will bind our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day He will raise us up to live in His presence. As you see, you say He rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Where does it say third day? Right there. But that's the whole people, don't you understand? When Jesus rose, Israel rose. And any who belong to that secret society, they rose. Well, how do you get into this society? You see? You got to let Him deal with you. He has rent, but He'll heal. He's struck, but He'll bind. There's a process. And it can be pretty devastating at times. It includes failure, physical pain, insult, worry. There's not a lot of people trying to get in. In fact, we don't even know how to get in. But if things start to happen in your life, and they can happen during Lent, you begin to suspect, oh, I'm being invited into this society. The president of this society is the Son of God made man. He is the president. He's the one. More rent and healed, more struck and bound up than anybody else. And it's the way to freedom. Now, we want a little bit of freedom. We want enough freedom to do what we want. But we don't want enough freedom to just be so at God's disposal that whatever He wants is a joy for us. So on this Saturday of the third week, you see they give us Hosea 6, which is this text that I've just been reading, and then the story there. And of course, as you can well expect, even if you didn't know, you'd know that that kind of a story would be in Luke, right? Because he has got all those kind of stories in Luke 18. So you see, it's not a thing you can practice. Like, I'm going to get good at this. Like, if you want to join the track team, you got to run, and pretty soon, if you're any good, you'll make the team. Here, you have to let it happen. This is the only person who can get us into this society. The only one who can get us ready to get in is Jesus. So, you see, the key is a total consecration to Mary. Then she'll take over and lead us through, you see, under in the power of our Lord, lead us through all these things that we have to go through to join this group. And we have to just live them, trust God. You know, there's no ground plan like, you know, here's the rule book, just read this book and you'll get in. It's not like that. So what's the key? Knowing the Father, I guess. Just pray for that. Let me know you. Because if I know you, I don't care about the rest of this stuff. And I know I'm a disaster. Nobody has to tell me. I know. And that's this secret society. It's really not a secret, you know. I mean, it's right here in the gospel. And so, you see, It starts, the end of it is, I think I've explained before, in this thing here. It is hesed that I desire, not sacrifice. Knowledge of God, rather than burn over. Oh, I got it. I got to go get a degree. Yeah. You know, St. Augustine says, our Lord has a degree. Our Lord's a professor. And he's doctor humilitatis. He's got his doctorate in humility. And that's what he teaches. And he teaches it, his magisterial chair is the cross. I think I'm going to go into another field. You see, that's a little tough. But it's not. I mean, it's tough to get in, you know, but God does it. We can't do it. All we have to do is agree to it. That's all. Agree to it. Disappointment, sickness, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because that frees us from illusion. And I can't free myself from illusion. I don't even know where I've eluded, you know? It has to be the Lord himself. And that's, but we have to hang in there with it. We can't quit. Oh, there are times, I have a friend of mine, a woman very holy, who suffered a lot. And one day, this was deep mystical suffering she'd been going through for a month. She said to me one day, if this keeps up any longer, I'm going to quit. Well, she's not going to quit. The Lord's got a hold of her heart. There's no way she's going to quit. But you see, and that's the society. And that's the freedom. Can you imagine, read when you get a chance there, you know, as I mentioned, you see, you know, it's Luke 18, 9 to 14. Read it. And listen to our Lord. Listen to his heart when he describes this guy in the back. You know, he's excited about this fellow. He's, you know, and he says, I tell you, that guy goes home justified. He's excited. So what's this hesed? You see, that's loyalty to God. Enthusiastic loyalty to God. And little by little there comes intimacy, see? And little by little we settle down into our nothingness without getting freaked out. And then this kind of prayer is like a wink between you and God. God, only you know the depth of my misery. Only you know. I got a dim idea, but only you really know. And so just look at God and wake. Isn't it amazing? I'm not in hell. I mean, here I am, walking around like everybody else. Because of your love. Because of your hesed. That's what the church wants us to think about when we get to this Saturday now, the third Saturday. Now things are going to get serious. We're going to start thinking about our Lord's passion, the theology of the passion, his own suffering. And this is the little door in, you know? Remember what this text says at the beginning, see? And knowledge of, well, see? Come, let us return to the Lord. Come on, let's go back to God. It is he who rent, but he'll heal us. Struck us, but he'll bind our wounds. The end, the Lord says, it's this hesed, this loyalty to the covenant between us, which we ratify every day when we go to communion between God and ourselves, because we're part of this church, see? If we're in the church, then we make this covenant. And knowledge of God means two things, perceiving God and recognizing him. The word yada in Hebrew, see, yeah, it has an experiential overtone to it, but that's the perception. See, I'm walking down the street and I say, that's Joe coming. But you know, I spot him. I can pick him out. He's a long way off, but I know. See, that's knowledge. That's perception. But that perception doesn't happen without the other dimension of knowledge, which is recognition. It's like I'm speeding in I'm going 65 in a 30-mile zone. And the cop pulls me over. And so I say, I recognize your authority. I know you. Without that dimension of knowledge, there can't be anything else. You see, I have to recognize God's authority. It's a beautiful line in Jeremiah, I think it's 23, where Jeremiah has a message for Jehoiakim, I think it is, who's on a big building campaign, and he said, your father, Josiah, he never built anything big and fancy for himself. He took care of the poor and he obeyed me. Is this not knowledge of me? I recognize your authority, God. Whatever you want, I want to do. But the other side of it is, I perceive you, I know you, I experience you. God says, I want knowledge of me. I want both. Anyway, that's the secret.